C1T. Number 3B.
We come to the next tone. And again, I want, I first read the epitome, and then I want to show you the flow again. The epitome here, in principle, is that this demands casting out human will. See, human will is typically the tone of mind as principle. It's the will of mind, but human, the personal will, the counterfeit of principle. So human will here is that personal will, and therefore Mrs. Eddy demands here that we should cast out human will with the divine mind. Divine mind is always that takes care of the human will. So that the unlabored motion of divine energy is brought to light. Can you hear the tone here of principle? The unlabored motion of the divine energy, the omnioperative principle, the constant operation of the divine principle through its ideas and spiritual power, this is brought to light. So principle, or the working of principle, the unlabored motion of principle is brought to light when? Only then, when human will is subdued by the divine mind. So again, here is the ethics of Christian Science that says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. I submit my human will, my human desires, my human aims and everything to God's plan, to the divine mind leadings, and only that will free, really, the unlabored motion of divine energy and will be brought to light. That's what is shown here. Now, let's see the flow of it again. We have started out with mind and began to see what should be our motives. Our motives first must be to be tolerant. Mind. Then to part with the opponents. Or else we just use up all our energies constantly fighting the opponents. That's no good. So part with the opponents. What should you do? Take care first of yourself. Your job in soul is that you yourself first should use the rules of soul and therefore conform to God's rules. But how can you really do that? How can you really conform to God's rule? You can't actually do it without that sense of principle, without that you first lay down your human will, or you cannot conform to God's principle. So you come to principle, to the fourth subtone. It says, only if you really submit your human will, your human desires, your human aims, your human wishes to the divine mind, then that frees the unlabored motion of the divine principle. Then that begins to work within you. So the side note here is divine energy. And under that paragraph, she compares human will and science, those two extremes. That's the way how she always usually writes, that she shows by showing the very opposites, by comparing the opposites. Just when you read a paragraph or a subject, it's just watch out that usually you find how Mrs. Eddy's person or says something about the fact or about the counterfeit, and then corrects that and shows something about the fact. Sometimes first the negative, then the positive, sometimes first the positive and then the negative. But by this juxtaposition, you learn a lot. by seeing the opposite, because we know the wrong much better than the truth in our life. We have lived the whole lifetime in the negative, and therefore that seems very often much more clear than the positive. So just watch out always if she presents a subject in that way of, can you say, juxtaposizing the subject, show the very opposite. Here you have the human will, and defines the human will and says, what do I mean by the human will? By the human will I understand self-seeking, envy, passion, pride, hatred, revenge. These are the things that make us and work us alike. Can you hear make us and work us, the opposite of principle? Principle operating, and the opposite is that human will also says, I'm also working, I also labor, that works and makes a lie, that it hides actually then the principle of harmony, is destructive to health and causes disease. That's now the picture of the human will, which has to be laid down for what? Now she comes in and says, Christian Science is that which silences human will. So you have the antidote of it, the healing of it, and it is, and that human will through Christian Science will be cast out by that divine mind. And so it illustrates the unlabored motion of divine energy. You see how she presents that subject. Can you see the flow? Yes, you can. I don't have to ask you anymore. You already begin to see that she builds up a subject very logically by telling you what is, you see that the subtones really tell us what is your contribution, what is your ethics, what is your attitude towards the divine principle. And that attitude must be principle-like. She comes next to the subject of life. We have here that this strict demand to the wise leading of mind demands at the point of life teaching without consideration of money. And you can hear in it the tone of life. Namely, life is the abundance of life, and therefore should not be subject to another source of support, namely money, that we should not teach because we want to make money. My advice to each one is, never do anything in Christian Science for money. If what you do brings in money, that's okay. That's okay. But never think, I'm short of money, I should have more money. What kind of a trick should I use now? What shall I do now to get more money? Never do that. It will fail. The life is big enough to support us. Therefore, our whole motive in teaching and healing must be for the sake of healing and teaching, for the sake of truth, for the sake of researching that truth. Always directed to the idea, keep the devotion to the idea pure, and it will be of the nature of life too. It will support. It will support everyone. No matter how the situation looks like, and if sometimes it looks very dark and you go through a period of fear or so, doesn't matter. You will pull through. If the motive, you see, mind, the main subject is mind, motive. If the motive is pure, it has within itself the seed of life. Not only the seed of mind, spirit, soul, principle. It has within itself also the seed of life, of provision. It will sustain and maintain and provide everyone. So here also the side note is indicating life, the very opposite of the fullness of light, namely blight of avarice. So she says, danger really is that we may teach mind healing indiscriminately, just in order to get enough students, and therefore to get enough income. Never do that. And so when we do, if we would do that, we would disregard really the motive and the moral of the students, why they come. We would disregard our motive, why we want to have students and patients. And we should not care only for fee, for the petty consideration of money, she says, or we are just communicating our own bad morals, our own sense of lack to the student. Can you see the flow? We had, in principle, we have seen that if we submit our human will to Christian Science, to the divine principle, that triggers off the unlabored motion of divine energy, not the labored motion of divine energy, the unlabored motion of divine energy, which would show, is that so, that those divine energies are flowing in an unlabored way. They are flow and they flow and they flow. And that's the tone of life that she says, yes, they flow, but be careful that you don't stop that flow by thinking materially and having material motives, money motives, money-making motives. That would stop it. But principle has within itself the unlabored motion, that unlabored is a flow of life, the fullness of life, and therefore it is God's responsibility to keep us going. It's not ours anymore. All we have to do is to be clear about our motives. If they are not right, things will go wrong. So we come to the next tone of truth. That we have seen that these true motives demand what? Practicing from right motives, which alone bring victory. Now you hear the tone of truth, victory. You will win. You conquer. Truth is always the victor. Truth always conquers. Truth is always that which makes the demonstration. So if our motives are right, the demonstration, the victory is ours. So again, she compares here the wrong motives and then presents the right motives. So it is good if you study a text, you see, you should always somehow have a pencil with you and paper with you, and you jot down quickly in just a few words when you read them and say, now, what does she say here now about the wrong motives? What are they? What does she say about the right motives? What are they? And you begin to really to clarify your consciousness and things become more transparent. So here she speaks first about the wrong motives and shows that wrong motives will bring defeat, whereas later on she says that right motives will bring a victory. So she speaks about the wrong motives, that they involve defeat, that the exercise of will is a wrong motive and is detrimental to health and integrity to thought, covering iniquity, again a wrong motive, will prevent prosperity and triumph, that practicing the science, that one cannot practice that with the wrong motives, namely with sinister and malicious motives, that this would again destroy the power to heal and your own health. Whereas, on the other side, She brings in right motives and says, well, through the study of the textbook, you will be able to heal the sick, and that perseverance in that study of the book will heal you. So it gives the right motive, namely to adhere to the text of truth, to strict adherence to the text of truth, we will win a victory. Therefore, divine beatitudes are not human platitudes. It's a nice play on words, beatitudes and platitudes. That divine beatitudes, not human platitudes, heal the sick. Again, your divine beatitudes, all those wonderful right motives as we have them in the seven beatitudes, they bring healing and victory. So you have here truth. What brings the victory? Right motives. Then we go to the last subject of love, the subtone of love. And you hear that very easily, that is love. Namely, that this demands that we should not influence the thought of others. And if we do it, should only be for the sole purpose of benefiting them. Can you hear benefiting them, the tone of love? That our whole motive really should be to bless, so that everybody benefits. It has a terrific tone of love in it. That should be our real motive. Here again, she shows that juxtaposition of what helps and what does not help. She says, first in a negative way, that breaking the heavenly law. Can you see, suddenly it's the heavenly law, because we are at the tone of love, it's not just the law, but breaking the heavenly law by trespassing upon man's individual rights of self-government, or by attempting to influence the thought of others, that does not bring us anywhere. That erring human opinions, conflicting selfish motives, that ignorant attempts to do good, that's so nice here, that it speaks of the ignorant attempts to do good. See, again, it is not the true ethics. It's that ethics where we try to be ethical, where we try to be good, where we try in our ignorance to do something good. And he says, this is not the right thing, because we don't know what the other one needs. None of us knows what the other one needs. God alone knows it. So if we think we know it and God doesn't care for it, then certainly this is not the ethics of Christian Science, because the ethic of Christian Science goes back to all is mine, and let mine supply the good. We really go always to the synonymous term and are aware that the seven synonymous term will translate themselves to every individual situation and bless the way somebody needs to be blessed. So we are not going to interfere with God's plan of love here, but we let the divine plan operate. Whereas, positively, she speaks about that heavenly law that gives us the infinite capacity to benefit others. Therefore, we should only use Christian Science, she says, to benefit others, never to hurt somebody else. And that we should accurately know the need of your fellow man. And we can only know that through that leadings of the divine mind, that we know accurately the need of your fellow men, or else we try to do good, but ignorantly, and that doesn't help. So heal the sick when called upon for a very good advice that you said. Don't try to heal people without that they ask for help. You know, that happens so often, that just people trespass on the individual right of somebody by treating them without that person wants it and knows about it. This is trespassing on the individual right. We shouldn't do that. And we can't explain that away by saying, but I only want the good for the other one. We do not know what is the good for the other one humanly. We have to leave that to the divine mind and not to our mind. Can you see? It's a great sense here of benefiting the others, but not on a human basis, but only on the divine law basis. Save the victims of the mental assassins. And that's how she ends here, that tone of love, minus love. Minus love, which says that it demands influencing the thought of others for the sole purpose of benefiting them if they ask for it. Isn't that the tone of love? Yes. All right. So, this way we have considered quite a few pages. How many pages there are? There are about at least about six pages, or five, six pages. That's already a fourth or a fifth, huh? No, at least a fourth of the whole chapter. Now, we said, up to now we were reading that chapter day in and day out, year in and year out, and never really so well. What is it all about? I think everybody understood each sentence, because it's not so difficult as that. After you have a certain kind of a knowledge of Christian Science, one really can read the textbook so that each sentence per se seems to make sense and isn't anymore such a big enigma. But that is not the purpose. We are not engaged in fact-finding. Science is a fact-arranging activity. We must see the relationship between these sentences. We must see the structure of the whole subject. That is science. So now, already, I'm quite sure that if you not even look down now on your notes, that you would be able, after 1 hour already, to know quite definitely the main theme that we have been reading and studying. The moment you know the seven synonymous terms, but those you have to know. See, that's the key. The seven synonymous term is that which decodes this mystery in the textbook. You have seen that with English you cannot decode the text. It's not possible. You tried it. You tried it hard. You were a good student. Devoted student. You wish nothing more than to understand that textbook. So you devoted your time to it. But you read it with English. The textbook cannot be read in English. It can only be read in the language of spirit. And that language of spirit is a very scientific language. Namely, it's molded by the seven synonymous term in the first go. So if we know the seven synonymous term, we begin to read the text with the language of spirit, with the seven synonymous term, and no more in English. What do we get? Now you know it. I just flow with you quickly through that whole tone of mind, and it will be just easy now, and without looking down to your notes, I think you would be able to do the same as I do, that you say, what is now Mrs. Eddy telling us really about the very first ethical approach? It's the ethics of mind, which has to do with right motives, with pure motives that are not human motives, but that they are motives of the divine mind. If they are motives of the divine mind, then they must reflect in the subtones all seven synonymous terms. Therefore, as you know those seven synonymous terms, and later on we'll know the word order of them, the flow of them, you would be able to say, yes, therefore she would have to show us that the very first thing as a true motive of mind is that we should leave everyone in the hands of the divine mind, in the leadings of the divine mind, and therefore we have to be tolerant against those who hold different opinions. Opinions, counterfeit of mind. To be tolerant against them. Second, you would see that those leadings of mind would have to reflect spirit. Therefore, they would reflect and say, within your motives must be an attitude that says to the opponents, you go your way, I go my way. Spirit asks us to separate us from the world, from opponents, without strife. And you begin to learn the ethics here of mind and spirit that says, all right, I leave everybody alone, but they have the right to think the way they think, they have the right to choose their healing method they want, it's not my business, and I have no right to attack them and to criticize them and to argue with them. I separate myself from that. As soul is always that which says, you have to have the same identity as God, naturally we would feel, then our job first is to get right with God ourselves. That is a sinless attitude. Not to be right with God, that's sin. That misses the mark. And so teach yourself to be in accordance with God, with the rule of divine metaphysics. That keeps you out of mischief. That keeps you free from animal magnetism. And if you keep those rules, you will suddenly feel, yes, but I cannot be identified with God until I give up my personal sense of myself. So principle comes in and says, principle is the only person. You have to submit your personal sense of yourself to the divine principle. If you do that, then you free the divine energies of the divine mind. And they begin, in an unlabored motion, to begin to demonstrate themselves in you. And those unlabored motions of the divine principle are full of life. You come to life and say, they will take care of you. Your motive, therefore, must be pure and not materialistic. You must not be afraid of supply. The fullness of life flows right from that divine principle. So don't teach, don't do anything in Christian Science. Don't write books, don't teach, don't heal, just because you want to earn money. Never do that. The divine principle can support you because it's of nature of life. And so you come to the tone of truth and say, which says, and if you do all that from mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, if you do that, you have a right motive. That's your right motive. And that brings your victory. You will be victor. You can't fail. And as that brings your victory, you will lose nothing by always blessing and blessing everybody. You come to the tone of love. That is your motive in the whole work of Christian Science. Bless and bless and bless. Isn't that simple?